Our Father, I want to thank you, Lord, my God, for another wonderful day you have made, Lord. As we have gathered here, Lord, my God, Father, you've been a blessing to us from the scratch of the meeting. Every aspect of it, Lord, my God, you have been touching our lives. You've been transforming us. Lord, we look forward to seeing that which you will do in us, Lord. As we press further to look into your word, oh, Lord, my God, briefly this morning, we ask, Lord, my God, that you ignite a transformation in us, that will mold us into Christ's likeness, to be the very people, Lord, you have ordained for us to be, bringing glory and praise to your holy name. In Jesus' wonderful name, we are prayed. Amen. And let the people of God say aloud, Amen. While you are still standing, we're going to read the scriptures together, then you can now sit down. Let's go to John chapter 15. If you can, you have your Bibles with you. We have reached an age where people don't bring Bibles to church anymore. Technology puts it up in the front, so they say, why do I need to carry a Bible when they will put it up there for us? Look into your own that you brought. Hallelujah. The one that is in your hand, whether it's in your phone or tablet or anything, you put it. Amen. Wherever it is, so long as you have it, that's what is important. So shall we read? We're going to read from verses 1 through verse 8. Let me see if that's when I want. Yeah. Yes. We're going to read from verse 1 to 8. Are we ready? We're going to read it all together. I love the public reading of the word. We are not doing it so much in churches these days. In those days, there's a public reading of the word. They set a big podium, and then the scribe will climb up there, and they will read from morning till night. That's all. They will just read the word of God, and lives will be transformed. People will be crying. They will be weeping for their sins, weeping for their life. Changes taking place in their lives. Just the entrance of the word giveth light and understanding unto the simple. The Bible says he sent his word into them. His word healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Hallelujah. It's not any maneuver or any magic of any minister around. No, it's the word of the Lord. As the word was coming, they were just reading the word. People were getting delivered. Chains were being broken. Lives were being transformed. Men were being set free. Hallelujah. But today we have kept ourselves away from that. The Lord would help us in Jesus' name. Shall we all read together now? Let's go. One, two, go. True vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Yeah, fruit. Takes away. And every branch in fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me. And self. Is in the vine. Unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. It's in me, and I in him. Bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. You will ask anything you desire, it shall be done for you. By my Father is glorified, that he bear much fruit. Make me shall be my disciples. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. Hallelujah. You cannot sit down. While I was looking through these scriptures and just thinking of how God will take us through with it, if you start from the first verse there, it says, I am the true vine. You know, for many years, I taught the scriptures, I read this Bible, but I never saw that word true. I am the true vine, which means there are many vines, but there's only one true vine. And Jesus is the true vine. There's one true vine. Every branch must be attached to a vine. A branch cannot exist on its own. It must be attached to a tree somewhere. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. And he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. And the branch that bears fruit, he prunes, so that it will even be more fruitful. The branch that does not bear fruit is useless. So they cut it and it becomes firewood. Because once the branch has been taken off from the tree, is good for nothing. It will definitely dry up. Right? And then the only thing you can do with it is what? Just use it as what? As firewood. But say the one that bears fruit, he prunes. If you have been involved in farming before, you know that the pruning process is not sweet to the plant. Are you getting me now? Eh? How many of you understand how the pruning takes place? You know, when you are chopping off the bad things, the things that are not okay, the things that are just trying to consume the nutrient that the branch should enjoy to bear better fruit, you are taking it off. The dry, dead ones that are hanging, you are taking it off. Are you getting me? So that the branch will be able to bear more fruit. So he prunes. And then I was looking at our lives. How does the Father prune us? By his word. When his word comes to you, the word prunes. The word comes to me. The word takes away the things that are not. The word points me to things that I should drop from my life. Hallelujah. That's why, you know, sometimes people run away from church because they say the word is too strong. You are running away from the word will make your life meaningful. Because the essence of the word, actually, according to Timothy, say all scripture is God inspired. It's profitable unto what? Teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, that the man of God will be thoroughly equipped for every good works. But most of us run away from that. It is by the word that the Father prunes us. The word of God comes and tells you, this life you are living is not a good life. So what do? You stop it. This attitude you have is not a good attitude. What do? You stop it. This behavior you have carried for so many years, and you say it is in our family. My mother was like that. My grandmother was like that. My own self, I am like that. My daughter will also be like that. The word of God says, stop it. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, I met people before. He said, no. He said, you see like that in our family. You need to see my mother. Our own is even worse. You need to see my father. I say, hey, brother, you need to change. Hallelujah. God's word is coming to you now. He say, change. Excuse this illustration. You know, it's like carrying a bowl of, poo on your head. And you say, in our family, we like carrying the thing on our head like that. And he's smelling all over the place. And they say, bro, this thing is not meant for here. It's meant to the other end. Let it stay where it goes. He said, no, we like carrying it on our head. That's how we do in my family. Just picture that. So when God's word comes, it challenges your status quo. It challenges the ideologies you have. It challenges the principles upon which you have been living your lives. It comes to prune us so we can bear much fruit. You see a man that is dealt with, that has received the word of God, you will see a man that is transformed. You see a man in whom the word of God has worked, you see a man that carries the presence of God. You see a man that can ignite a change no matter where you drop him. Praise the name of the Lord. Prunes us so we can even be much more fruitful. Verse 3 simply says, you're already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. You see, the word that I've spoken to you, the word cleans you, the word purges you, the word sanctifies you. So when we run away from the word, what now happens to us? Many of us are so impatient when it comes to the word of God. We can sit down with every other thing for as many hours as possible. It's not a problem. But when it comes to the word of God, we're running away from it. We're having a conversation with Pastor just earlier this morning about how some people, when they come into church, when it is time for the word, that's when they want to go and get fresh air outside. You know, a lot of people who do all these singing things in churches, you know, you go to places, when they come, I call them performers. They come and they perform. When they perform their songs, so you finish. By the time the word of God is coming, that will touch their lives, they are outside. So majority of them are not growing in faith. They are popular, but they are not growing in faith. You need to engage with them, and you understand what I'm saying. And I kept asking, I said, why are they behaving like this? My friend had a meeting once like that, and they invited these guys to come and meet. And they came, they were there. When they finished their performance, by the time it was time for the word of God, all of them were outside drinking Coke. said, what kind of human beings are these ones? You cannot grow like that. Praise the name of the Lord. We must allow God's word to work on us. Take as much of it in church. Take, give to your children. Read the word of God to them every day. Before they go to school, read the word of God to them. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Let them get the word of God. Let them learn to begin to what identify with the word of God and let God's word begin to work in their life. Use the word of God to engage with them. Then in verse 4, it says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. He says, abide in me and I in you. Now, if you take the branch of a tree and you carry it, and let's say we put it in a limousine and transfer it to the White House and keep it there, what will happen to that branch? Okay, let's try another thing. We get the branch from the tree and we fill this room with dollars. So try to imagine how much dollars that will be. Fill this room with dollars and then carry that branch and put on top of it. What will happen? Okay, let's carry that branch again now. Fly it with a private jet. And land it. You see, all these things, everywhere you take it to, it will not survive. Because the only place that by divine design, the branch survives is in the vine. Nowhere else. Once you take it away from there, you have removed it from the source of its livelihood, it's going to die. So when you take yourself away from the word of God, when you take yourself away from Christ, it's a big problem. You say, abide in me. As a branch cannot bear fruit on itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I can't bear fruit unless I abide, unless I remain. I make him my place of abode. That's my address. Where is your address? You know, I love the way they do in the Western world here. They only deliver letters to your address. Is that correct? You must have an address. They don't drop letters for you in the streets. Or they don't come looking for you in the marketplace or in the shopping center. Oh, we're looking for one Angelina Phillips. Are you Angelina Phillips? There's one letter here, Angelina Phillips. No. They take it to your address. Hallelujah. Because this is where Angelina Phillips lives. This is her house. This is her address. So they deliver your letter there. Is Jesus your address? Amen. Abide in me. You know when you go into Psalm 1, you say, blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit on the seats of mockers. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He says, it shall be like a tree planted by the streams of waters, that brings forth its fruit in due season, whose leaves does not wither, and whatever he does prospers. Why? Because that tree is planted by the streams of waters at the very point of its livelihood. It's like a branch in the vine. When the season for fruitfulness comes, oh Lord Jesus. Man of God, have you ever gone under the mango tree and begin to play Rokotorima, Hankatiria, Magalaba, Toriaba, Mango Comfort? No, you don't do that. Once it is the season, mango shows forth. It's effortless. You don't need to do anything additional. Am I correct, sir? Because the branch of the mango remains in the vine, it remains in the tree there. Once it is a season for mango, mango comes forth. And our lives should be like that. That as we abide in the vine, when it is time for fruitfulness, will manifest. You don't need any roboscanda or tongues you need to bring it out. No. Pastor's car can go 200 miles an hour, I guess. Even though you can't run with it like that here in this country. Because all those people, those guys, you know those guys that stay with one kind of motor on the road, they're watching like, bing, they just give you the thing. That's how they do it here. In England, nobody is staying to watch you. The light is already there. When you pass, you get a letter at home. There is no I beg, sir. With your picture, if you deny it, you see, they print their, it's high definition. The hair strands, you know, some of us don't have plenty on our head. The very hair strands on my head, as small as they will appear. Life. Hallelujah. So you can't argue. Amen. Now, can you imagine pastor in his car? And then he now gets on the freeway. And then he's saying, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, let this car do 120 miles an hour. Shokotori mahan takayaga. Tata. Oh, yeah. Car, go. Will you not think that something is wrong? Because the car by manufacturer's design has been packaged and built to go over 120 miles an hour. All pastor needs to do is just, when the need arises, you just press that thing down and the car flies. Is that correct? Because it has been designed to do that already. You see, that's the limitations many of us are having. We don't know that by divine design. You see, God will not ask of us what he has not put in us. God will never tell you do what he has not given you the capacity to do. A lot of our behaviors, may the Lord have mercy on us. You say, oh, my brother, I can't help it. It's not easy. Who told you that? Is it you? No. The Lord who created you, he has packaged you to manifest Christ-likeness. We see it with attitudes and behavior that is running you down. Anger, bitterness, hatred. Oh, anger is a terrible thing. You know why the Bible says, be angry but sin not? Because in every anger there is sin. So he put a caution immediately. Yeah, because you're human, you will get angry, but please don't sin. Because anger gives birth to 5 children. Hatred, resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness, and vengeance. Every anger, go and trace it in your life. Every manifestation of anger gives birth to 5 children, dangerous children. Resentment, bitterness, hatred, unforgiveness, vengeance. So he said, when you are angry, don't sin. Because there is sin hooking by the door there. Because anger, it carries those children and he must deliver. And if you didn't get it, he says, while you are angry, don't let the sun go down. Many of us, so many sun has gone down. We're in year 2019 right now, right? Eh? Hallelujah. Many of us are still living in 1980. That day you came to me, I still remember vividly it was raining in the morning. I just woke up. I was wearing that pink pajamas. I remember. I can never forget it. May the Lord deliver us in Jesus' name. God's word can break those stuff out of our lives. Get off it. Amen. He said, brother, you don't understand. If you know what I've gone through, if you know, leave it. He said, it is not easy. Who told you so? That's a lie of Satan. By divine design, you have been packaged to drop those nonsense from your body. Hallelujah. The fire of the Lord will burn every of those serpents out. Amen. Amen. The capacity is there, but we love to gather those things and keep them. And you create a pity party club for yourself. You are just inside it like that, thinking that you are doing okay. No, you are not okay. You need to be set loose. Abide in me, and let my word abide in you. Then Jesus, as he was speaking here, maybe we didn't understand him clearly. Now went further to make it clearer. I said, look, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me, and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. What is it about your life that you think it is you who is doing it? No, it's him. Those exams that you are clearing and performing very well, it is him at work in you. I called my son one day, I told him, I said, oh boy, these fine grades you are getting, it's God who at work in you. You better acknowledge him. And before you go to exam, pray. When you are reading, pray. While you are writing, pray. Because it is him at work in you. Don't think that you are smart too. There is nothing inside there. Are you getting me now? But some of our life, the way we are boasting, I am a self-made millionaire. Self-made mumu. That's what I call them. You gave back to yourself. You wiped your bums. You bought your pampers yourself. You put yourself in school. You paid your ways through your school all by yourself. You must be one demon from hell. I mean, man of God, sir. Even when I hear people say, I'm a self, nobody ever in my life, nobody, I'm a self, eh? You are what? You gave yourself the job. You paid yourself the money. Ah, may the Lord open our eyes. And then you are living in one realm that is not designed for you. The realm of pride. Once you are in that club, you are in a club of people God is rejecting. That everything you are doing, you are being rejected already. That will say, God what? Resists the... Do you know what that means? Dr. Ejo, please come. Just 1 minute. Come, come, come. Try to come up here. You see, this is the... Hold on first. Hold on. This is the place of glory. For him. Amen. This is gold here. Oh yeah, come. Because of pride, God himself. Try to come. Make effort to come. Put effort now. Struggle to God himself. You didn't catch the picture. I don't think you understood that. The Bible says God resists the proud. Every effort you make, God himself. He said, I will not let you. I'm resisting you. But you know what he does? Come again back. Come back, sir. He gives grace to the humble. Come, 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 come. He carries you. He said, without me, you can do nothing. You're a lecturer. You think you're a smart lecturer. Without him, you can do nothing. You are good in that, your job. Everybody says, this guy, you are the best here. Without him, you can do nothing. Without him. And I know some people are thinking, yeah, well, we're not some people who are not born again. They are this, but they are doing that. That's why God is a gracious God. He makes his sun to shine on the righteous and the unrighteous. He gives rain. God did not say rain should fall only in the farm of the righteous, and rain will not fall on the farm of the unrighteous. Is that what God does? No, God is a gracious and loving God. He just pours his rain on everybody there. Because if God shuts the door, it is shut forever. May he not shut doors to you in Jesus' name. Let him keep your doors open perpetually. Hallelujah. He said, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and they are burned. Verse 7. He said, but if you remain in me and my word remain in you. This is my prayer all these years is, God, get me to this level. When you are at that level, do you know what it means to say? When he said, if you remain in me, that's me, remaining in him. Not just that again, and I allow his word to remain in him, I become him. So that every word I speak is no longer my word. You didn't catch it. The thoughts that I have do not originate from me anymore. Self has died. He said, put to death, therefore, the deeds of the flesh. Flesh dies. Because my taking the step to abide in him, to remain in him, and allowing his word to remain in me, I am no more in control. I have lost control. And when you lose control, God is in control and you are in charge. Many women have lost their marriages because they want to have control. They want to have control. The control that God has not designed for you, you want to have control. Instead of losing control so you can be in control. So you are trying to have control and your life is miserable and you are going from one level of misery to the other. Level of misery to the other. Level of misery to the other. You say, I can take charge. You cannot take any charge. Oh. Let God take charge. And for the men too, like that. I know what to do. I will handle it. Yeah, you can't handle anything. Do you know what it means for his word to remain in you? That it is his word that rules your life. It is his word that determines what you do. Your inspiration is drawn from his word. Your action, your responses, they are drawn from his word. He said, if you remain in me, and my word remains in you. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for your word. Then he now says, he said, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Pastor was teaching us to hold fast unto the word we confess, unto the faith. When you remain in him and you give him permission for his word to remain, because you see, if you don't permit the word to remain in you, it will not remain in you. The word is available to everyone. When you say you are allowing the word to work in you, what happens? The word determines what you do, how you do it, what you say, where you go, what choices you make, and all those stuff, etc. You say, at that point, whatever you ask, it will be done. You know why? You will never ask anything outside of the will of the Father. But we are so selfish. You know what we do with these scriptures? We read it to say, Father, in the name of Jesus, your word says, hallelujah. Whatever I ask, whatever I wish to be done for me. Lord, I come in the name of Jesus and I'm asking. This is what I desire. I desire 10 limousines tomorrow in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, my God. Are you really in the word? Is the word really in you? Is it really limousine matter you should be talking now or something else? Because when his word remains in you, flesh dies. Self is gone. So you discover that at that time, that every desire you have is a righteous desire. You don't have righteous desire because you are coming to church, you carry a fat Bible like my own, very fat Bible like this. You come to church, say yes, we are in church. So you have a righteous desire, and I allow you. There are people inside church that their desire is even worse than that of Satan. They come to church on Sunday morning, well-dressed, and looking here, the plan they have inside church, only God knows. I was speaking in a church in Lagos, and one of the pastors, why you say that came? She said that the plan she had to deal with the person when she entered church, he said as the word of God came, she was convicted. It was after church she came to me to come and confess. She said, Pastor, I've come to confess. I said, confess what? He said, that word hit me hard. Say, if you know the plan, I plan to deal with so person. But as the word came to me, I knew that I was on the wrong platform. I've come to repent. I say, the Lord have mercy on you. Some of us are here, you are thinking about what you are going to eat next in lunchtime. And in fact, some of us, even while you are here, you are ordering the lunch in advance. You think we don't know how you do it? Man of God, when you are preaching and that word is coming with fire, they are thinking, which one will I choose? Just send it, click the button. You know, that's why we hold this thing. Many of us, you think that it's only Bible that you are carrying inside here. We know what you do with it now. You are so much in a hurry for that lunch that so that immediately you are leaving here, you are reaching that place, the thing is ready. They are already packaged, you just carry, chop straight. Hallelujah. When you remain in the word and the word remains in you, your righteous, your desires are righteous. At that point, whatever you ask will be done. Whatever you ask, whatever. And like Jesus himself said, because if he didn't give us that open check, if it was not going to be honored, he wouldn't give us the check. Whatever. You're telling me, but bro, if this word is true, this is what I've been praying for so number of years. Ask yourself, is that thing in line with the will of God? How is your life? Is that what God wants, or is it what you want? Are you getting me now? Many of us, you are knocking the wrong door. Because we have not remained in his word. You don't even recognize the wrong door that you are knocking. May God open our eyes to recognize the wrong doors. Hallelujah. So that when you knock the right doors, they will open. When you release the word in prayer, it will happen. Praise the name of the Lord. That's where we need to pray to get to. It now puts us on a platform to bear fruits. Fruits that will abide. When I look at this verse, say, let your word. It says what? If you remain, you have a choice. If you remain. It's just like Pastor says, okay, if you stay back here in church, and you can choose to stay, or what? Or go. You say, if you remain in me. And when you say remaining in me, there means remaining in the word. You know why? Because it's the word. If you backtrack a little bit to John chapter 8, 31, 32, he was speaking to the Jews that believed in him. He said, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed. By your continuity in my word, you will come to know what? The truth. And the truth will set you free. And if you go to chapter 1 of John, it says, in the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. So when he says, if you remain in me, it means if you remain in the word. And so when you remain in the word, then the word also remains in you. Lord, teach me this thing. Let me know it better. Which means your place of abode is in the word. And in your heart is the word. You remain in the word and the word remains in you. Which means every part of you turn around is the word. At that point in time, whatever comes out of your mouth carries the authority of the word. And it carries the authority of the heavens. You don't need to shout it. Even by whispering, hallelujah, it will come to pass. So, and I kept asking myself when I looked into this, why have we been praying prayers and we're not seeing answers to them? There's a lot of teaching on prayers and intercession. I tell people that we need to get to a point where we stop praying our prayers and begin to pray his prayers. Like Pastor shared with us today, this morning, when God gave him that word, God gave him the prayer to pray. He stopped praying his own prayer. He began to pray the Father's prayer. Yeah. Hallelujah. And he declared the Father's prayer until it came to pass. And finally he says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. I love the translation, the NKJV. It says, by this my Father is glorified. It's not by the amassment of the bundles of dollars or acquisition of property. There is nothing wrong with them. What glorifies the Father? Many years ago, the Lord said to me, he said, son, when you come home, I'm not going to ask you how many mansions you built and lived in. There's nothing wrong with them. I'm not going to ask you how many posh cars you bought and drove. There's absolutely nothing wrong with them. Don't make that mistake. He said, I'm not going to ask you how much money you amassed in the bank and spent. There is nothing wrong with having all the money you can have. He said, but I'll only ask you one thing. How many souls you have influenced for my kingdom? And that has been my watch word for years. In this is my Father glorified, that you bear fruit. Much fruit. So you will be my disciples. Are you bearing fruit? There are three platforms of fruit I talk about as I close this morning. You read in Galatians, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The Spirit bears that fruit, not you. It's the fruit of the Spirit. He bears it through you as you submit to his control. Once you lose control to the Spirit, those fruit come out of you. He bears them in you. John, when those people came to be baptized, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were coming, the tax collectors, the governors, everybody. Remember at that time, you know, Ananias and Caiaphas were in charge of the spiritual activities in the temple, in the cathedral, in the city. Are you getting me now? The whole city was bubbling. Somebody was a governor in Uteria. Another one was, all the political stuff, they talked about them. Fantastic. And they said, what? And the word of the Lord came to John the Baptist where? In the wilderness. And the hustling and bustling and all that is happening in the city, the word of the Lord was not there. The funfair, the large gathering, the procession, the protocols going on in the city, the Lord was not there. The business sector, the booming and everything, the political thing, the Lord, word of the Lord was not there. The word of the Lord was with John the Baptist in the wilderness. And the whole people discovered the emptiness of the hustle and bustle of the city. And everybody began to run to the wilderness to look for this man that was living one kind of strange life because the word of the Lord was there. And when he saw them coming, oh, what an opening address. What a pastor he was. Oh, you brood of vipers, generation of wicked snakes, who has warned you to run away from the coming wrath? You say we're born again. He said, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. You say you're born again. Produce the fruit. In your words, produce the fruit. In your action, produce the fruit. In your choices, produce the fruit. Hallelujah. The fruit of repentance. And the third leg of the fruit is what we see here. A disciple should produce another disciple. You say you are a disciple and you're not producing another disciple. We need to check if you are one. What kind of mango tree is this? Every season pass, no fruit. Every season pass, no fruit. What do you think we need to do to that tree? Say it gently. Because if God decides to do that, many of us will not wake up tomorrow. that's the reality of it. And it is in our producing fruit that our Father is glorified. And that's what makes us his disciples. Jesus said, I am the true vine. Many people are attached to several vines. But there is one true vine. Jesus is the vine. And we are the branches. So long as we remain in him, and his words remain in us, we will bear much fruit. Fruit that will abide. And our Father will be glorified. Just simply saying to somebody, Jesus loves you, can transform someone. No, I'm not saying you should say it here. They already know that Jesus loves them. That's why they are here. You say it to somebody on the street who doesn't know Jesus loves him. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, it can transform the life. I met someone, I said, Jesus loves you. He said, you mean God loves me? He said, no. Retired Marine. I think I was flying, I came for a meeting in the U.S. and I was going back and I met this old man, retired Marine, very old man. And he said, what do you do? I said, I talk about Jesus. He looked at me. That's so strange. Young man like you should have something viable you are doing. I said, yes, it's very viable. I talk about Jesus. He said, God doesn't love me. I said, no, he loves you. He said, young man, you don't understand. I know what I'm saying. God cannot love somebody like me. I said, he loves you no matter where you are. No matter what you have done. He said, hey, my friend. He said, I'm a retired Marine of the United States of America. I know what I'm talking about. I said, he loves you. He said, you mean God can receive someone like me? I said, yes, he can. If you come to him today, he will receive you. You become his child. The guy broke down. And I said, would you want to come to Jesus? He said, yes. I said, can I pray with you? He said, yes. And then we began to pray. And this is what hit me hard. I said, just repeat that. He said, I don't even know what to say. So I said, don't worry, I will guide you. Say, Lord Jesus, repeat that after me. I come to you just as I am, that you have mercy on me and forgive my sin. You know what his response was? He said, forgive my many, many, many sins. Tears were rolling down his eyes. And then he said, I will come and give you my contact. So in my mind, I said, if this man is serious, Lord, let him look for me. So I didn't take anything from him. I went and sat down. 10 minutes later, I saw an old man walking around, looking on every face on the seat in the plane, looking around. This was in a plane. No? He was looking around. He said, yeah, there you are. He gave me his address, his phone number, his contact, everything he gave to me. He said he was going on holiday in Germany at that time. A month later, I called him. This guy was bubbling with life in Christ. Just that phrase, God loves you. Let us pray. Let's talk to God about our lives. I don't know what the Lord has said to you this morning. I don't know where you are on the ladder of life. But I believe that God wants to carry out an overhauling in our lives today, so that we can be fruitful and bring glory to him. So that our lives will not remain the same. Talk to him. I don't know where you are. I don't know what the condition is with you. But I tell you, God wants to touch you today. God wants to touch you today. Is somebody here saying, brother, please pray with me. I know I need a touch. I need a touch. Or you are probably saying, Lord, I need a connection with you so that I will be able to manifest likewise. There are things I need to drop. Just put your hand on your chest in a few seconds and talk to God about it. Talk to God about it. Talk to God about it. Reko tarimbas kotoria masatariga. Jatoria maskandaritas kantekehe. Lutampaska tandega santoga. Lord, in obedience to your word, I send forth your word into your sons and your daughters this afternoon, that you carry out what only you can carry out in them, because you know what they have come to you with this morning, that you ignite that transformation to the glory and to the praise of your holy name. And if there's any here who has not yet known you as Savior, and is saying in the heart right now, Jesus, I come to you. Jesus, I come to you. Jesus, I come to you. Father, even as your word says you will not cast them away, you will receive them. I pray that you receive such ones that are turning their hearts to you this morning. Do the miracle, Lord, and let your name be praised. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus.